Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. And welcome to a new year. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, Tammy.
Happy New Year, Bob.
And Tammy Flanagan and I host this show every week. For Your Benefit, Tammy is the Senior Benefit Director of NITP. She's weekly GovExec columnist and seminar presenter as well. And what we thought we'd do, we'd start out and we'd talk about, Tammy mentioned that recently she's received a substantial number of emails about new retirees and, gee, you know, what about this and what about that? And we talk about that at the beginning. And then we take a look backwards at, I shouldn't say backwards, we'll look at the 2011 shows and just highlight some of the things that came out. And the 2012 shows will pretty much parallel the same thing because laws change, interest change, Congress changes things that then impact the shows as well. But let's jump into the new retiree. Welcome, new retirees.
Yeah, we got some new ones. I'm sure that their applications will be hitting OPM in the next 2 weeks. And they probably have some questions because their first checks will be a little different from what their future checks will be because initially they're going to be in an interim status. And at the same time, this is the time of the year that health insurance premiums are changing. So they're going to have that coming about in their first checks. We also have some changes to the life insurance that are going to affect everybody in the government who carries FEGLI or government life insurance. And there's the cost of living adjustment that current retirees are receiving in their January check that should be in their bank accounts this weekend. So there's a lot of things to experience as you move from employee to retiree and transition into retirement. Even when it comes to those employees who are retiring who are also eligible for Social Security, they have that other benefit to consider and to decide when to start taking it. And then they have the TSP money. So all those things have to come together. And I'm sure it's a very confusing time as you prepare for that transition into this new life after retirement.
When would the health insurance premiums and the life insurance premiums go up? Would it be the January
check? January 1st. You know, now, keep in mind, the January payment for retirees doesn't come till February 1st. So if you're already retired, that January check should look pretty much the same as the December check as far as health benefits goes. But the January check is when the cost of living adjustment kicks in. So for current retirees who have been retired the whole year of 2011, the civil service retirees saw a 3.6% increase. In fact, I was at a holiday party over the last 2 weeks, and I had a lot of retirees there who were saying, you know, how much their checks had gone up for the January check as OPM sent out notices letting them know that their payments were going to increase due to the COLA. So 3.6% for civil service, for military retirees, and for Social Security recipients, and 2.6%, as we call it, the diet COLA for the FERS retirees. But that's only for those who have been retired for 12 months. So for those who may have retired partway through 2011, maybe you retired the end of May. So you would have only been retired 6 months by the time that COLA came due on December 1st. So you would only get half of that COLA, half of the 2.6 or half of the 3.6%. And then to add to that, FERS retirees don't get a COLA until they're 62. So if you were an employee who retired under FERS, but you were only age 60, then your retirement's going to stay the same as it was last year. So the COLA can be a confusing issue for people when they first retire, because it's not the same as the employee pay raise that everybody used to get on January 1st, although that's now been frozen for the past 2 years. So the retiree COLA is based on inflation rates and helping people maintain their buying power throughout their retirement years. So hopefully that'll continue as the years go by.
COLA increases are always welcome. Just the accounting side of me says, well, it's going to get hit with income tax. Of course it is, but it'll get hit at a higher level because it goes on top of your otherwise base. So be careful with the withholding.
How much of it you spend.
And I don't know how much this would impact the means testing for Medicare. I don't know that it would have a significant test, but
it depends on if it pushes you into that higher level. And that's the other thing, too. If you're over 65 and you're eligible for Medicare Part B, the premium for Medicare Part B is actually going down this year, believe it or not. It was at 2011, $115.40 a month. And for the new rate for 2012, it's $99.90. It almost sounds like the dollar store, $99.90 a month. But as you were mentioning, the means testing means that higher income people who are over age 65 may not get to pay that low rate. So depending on if their adjusted gross income is above certain thresholds, they'll pay much higher than $99.90 a month. In fact, some well over $200 or $300 a month per person. So Medicare can be another issue that retirees face when they reach age 65 as far as whether or not to take it, absorbing the cost of the premium, and figuring out how that coordinates with their other health insurance. Because now you have dual coverage. You have both your federal health insurance, now you have Medicare, and those two work together to reduce your overall out-of-pocket expenses, but it adds that premium.
Sure. And also, this might be a stretch, but for those that are receiving Social Security and they get a COLA increase here, it could impact the taxation of the Social Security. It's truly the worst calculation that one could have to do. But just
well, I
so
get that question a lot of times
sided.
In seminars saying, do I have to pay tax on my Social Security? And my answer to that is most people don't. But you will. And they're like, what do you mean I will? And I said, well,
I like
because you have other income. I said, the people who don't pay tax on their Social Security are the people who that is their income. That's all they receive is Social Security. But because federal retirees have pension benefits, they have investment income, and they receive Social Security, for most of them, I think they do get into that bracket where they will have to pay some tax.
And there's three brackets, no tax, as Tammy mentioned, and then it jumps to 50%. Now, that's not a 50% tax.
It's 50% of the benefit is taxed.
Right, is subject to tax. Mm-hmm. And then, although you'd have to, I won't say have to get up there, but the third one is 85%.
Yeah, and it's not that high of a threshold, I don't think.
No, that's why I kind of pulled back on it. So and probably it's not taxable on the state. So the good news is Social Security still is tax favored even at its highest level. 15% is non-taxable.
Right. And I always think of that representing the tax you've already paid, because you paid that 6.2% throughout your career. So you've already paid tax on that. So hopefully you get that part back tax-free.
Yeah, it's kind of like the basic annuity that one might get, whether they're FERS or CSRS. It's not fully subject to tax because it's a return of money that they've involuntarily put into the system throughout
right.
their career.
The required contributions. Yeah, right. The other thing with Social Security, too, is for employees who are still working, who might be turning their full age for Social Security this coming year, maybe it's 66, I think for people who were born long enough ago that they turned 66 this year, they could continue working, paying into Social Security, and yet they can start receiving a benefit. And they can't understand, why do I have to still pay the tax if I'm getting the benefit? But that benefit will increase as their average wages go up. So I think it's still a good thing that you pay into it so that you can increase that Social Security benefit as you're continuing to receive it.
Yes. Now, those of you that are listening that would like to call, you can get us live. Tammy Flanagan Live. That could be a show. 202-465-3080.
I'd love to hear from some recent retirees and what are your concerns and questions about these next couple of months as you transition into retirement. Because I know a lot of people are also concerned about how long it's going to take, because there's a process. You go from being an employee to becoming an annuitant. And so your agency has to get you off of their payroll, which means pay your last paycheck, pay out your unused annual leave. And that's going to take a couple of pay periods in most cases. In fact, some people don't get their lump sum annual leave check for 6 weeks after they retire. But that's going to be your final separation from your agency. Then the whole thing has to move over to the Office of Personnel Management so you can start getting your civil service or your FERS retirement check. And that's another process that can take some time, because OPM still does most of that processing manually, which means someone has to go page by page through your entire federal career, making sure all of your service counts and is creditable towards the calculation and eligibility for retirement, going through whether or not you owe money to the retirement fund for service that might not have been subject to contributions or that you may have taken a refund, and just verifying that everything is in place, even things like a divorce can affect how much retirement you get, because your former spouse might be entitled to part of your retirement. So all of that has to be really sifted through with a fine-tooth comb before OPM can validate that retirement claim and pay out the full benefit. Add to that, on average, about 100,000 new retirees are added to the rolls every year, and you're going to have a lot of work to be done at OPM. So they have been experiencing some backlogs, and they're working as hard as possible to get that accounted for, but we have new retirees coming on the rolls daily, And so therefore, it still continues to be a lengthy process. So for those who have just retired, I would expect that your first check might actually come February 1st, which would be your January payment. But expect that first check to be an interim check. And probably the first 6 to 8 checks might be interim checks, which means you're going to be getting less than you're expecting. And the only thing withheld from those interim checks are taxes. Your health insurance and your life insurance benefits will continue automatically. Your agency will transfer those coverages to OPM. And when they finalize your claim, they'll deduct all the premiums that are due for health and life insurance. Federal taxes will be withheld as you go. But what about state taxes?
No, not in the interim check. So underline that, from date of retirement to when they finally catch up. So you're not going to have any state taxes withheld.
So what should you do?
Well, you can do one of two things. One, you could do an estimated tax for the period of time that it would be. The first estimated tax is due April 15th, 2012.
A little while to do
and,
it.
And to be frank, it's a little aggravation. It's another form you have to file. Gee, I have to save it. Or you could say, all righty, I'm going to have 11 months, 10 months of regular annuity payments. So I'll just make up for what I didn't have withheld during that period of time, because you really control your withholding once you retire, much like you can on the job. So you can give it a dollar amount or an exemption amount.
So you're saying once you get put into a final pay status, just have them withhold more state income tax for this year rather than
right, to make
what you
up
would normally have.
Instead of having to do the estimated tax. I'm not saying you shouldn't do the estimated tax. In fact, the form couldn't be less complex. It includes your name, address, and social security number, and another line for how much are you paying with this?
How much you want to send us.
So it's not real hard. So somebody would say, now I just soon save the money. I know it's coming. I'll pay it with that, and then I'll enjoy my annuity benefit unaffected with a catch-up for...
Well, what if you got to the end of the year and you just kind of forgot about that state income tax? Because we might have some retirees who left last year who didn't know that they weren't having state income tax withheld. What do they do when they file their state tax return for 2011 if they didn't pay their state income tax?
Well, that's a line right out of my seminars, because if they don't do it, people think because they have federal taxes withheld that the state follows, and they don't look too closely and say, no, it doesn't. So you do have to ask for it. But let's say that you had none withheld for whatever reason, and you're going to owe an awful lot, and including some penalties and interest. Now, we broadcast locally the D.C. metro area, but we know that people listen well outside of the D.C. metro area. So this is no different here than it would be in California, or I won't say Washington State because they don't have a return, but Oregon New Mexico.
Some states don't tax your retirement.
Yeah, and some states don't tax it. But point being is, if you were in that position, you're going to owe it. And if you are maybe of short means and you don't have it, you can enter into a payment plan with most anybody, whether it's the state or the feds. Or you have to pay it, and you have to pay this penalty and interest. If I were you in that situation, I'd suggest that you write the state a letter saying, listen, I've been a good scout all my life. I pay my taxes on time. I have the proper withholding. I was unaware that there would be no withholding. I know I owe you the tax, but I would like you, please, to at a minimum abate the penalty and hopefully the interest. The interest might be a little tougher to get, but it's a reasonable cause letter. They call it a reasonable cause.
Kind of common sense type.
Yeah, and the states aren't heartless. Even the ones that, for example, Maryland. Maryland is... having some financial issues that many of the other states do, but Maryland will give you a break generally if you can show that in the past that you've been a good scout.
Yeah, you haven't been deceptive. And
they'll abate the penalty. It's tougher to get them to abate interest, and you kind of understand that. But the penalties can be pretty severe. Penalties can be 25% of the tax.
Wow.
Ouch.
Yeah, so you be aware of that state income tax, especially in states like we have in this area that do tax your retirement pretty much across the board, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and many states across the nation also tax federal benefits, although some don't.
Some don't. And in Claris, we look, NARF publishes a monthly newsletter, Retirement Life, and once a year they really do an outstanding job on state income tax. They do an outstanding job every month, but
NARF
this case,
is the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, and you can find them at NARF.org, N-A-R-F-E.org. And they do publish the list of states and how they
Every state in the country that provides, and they break it into really three groups. One group says these states don't even have a state income tax. These states, generally speaking, will not tax your federal annuity. Not in all cases, but North Carolina's one. If you meet one test, it's non-taxable. If you don't meet it, it's partially non-taxable.
I find that North Carolina's CSRS employees get it tax-free, and the FERS retirees are pretty much
because
subject
of the,
because of that deadline date.
Yeah, they call it the Bailey Rule, and it's some magic date in the early 80s. And you had to have 5 years of federal service, et cetera. But they isolate those, and they say, okay, these are these and these or those, but then there are an awful lot of other states in the country that if you are retired, federal or not, they'll give you an additional tax benefit for being retired and living in that state. Now, the three local ones are a very good example. They don't care. Are you retired? Well, I'm a federal retiree. It doesn't make any difference. Are you retired? But if you don't know this and you don't claim it, you can be assured that the state is not going to write you back and say, gee, you forgot to do this. So it would be best for you to be aware of this in this publication. It's oftentimes in March, sometimes it's April, not because they're slow. It's because the states are slow in getting out the information to them, to the taxpayers.
Now, to the federal, on the federal level, is there any tax breaks for retirees?
They're all pretty much the same as far as the federal annuity. Whether you're FERS, whether you're CSRS, whether you're offset, whether you're Metro, whether you're Title, it doesn't make any difference. You have an involuntary amount of money withheld starting your first federal civilian. Underline
your
the word civilian.
Contributions to the retirement fund.
And they call it contributions, and I'm not being a pain in the neck. It's not a contribution. They take it from you. Now, the FERS amount is not as great as the CSRS amount, but it doesn't make any difference. Both have it. Mm-hmm. The calculation as to what's non-taxable, they look at that money throughout one's entire career. This would include deposits, redeposits. It would include buying military time and the interest on those as well. So it isn't necessarily just what was withheld. And they just take that number, whatever it is, and they divide it by an IRS life expectancy amount. And each year that would be subtracted from the gross annuity. So if your gross annuity, your full annuity was $24,000. I'm just pulling a number out of the sky. And this number was $2,000, you'd pay tax on $22,000. Now, you'd get $24,000, but you wouldn't have to pay tax. It's a little bit like the thrift.
Is that something that in the tax programs like TurboTax and Tax Cut, do they already have that programmed in for federal retirees, or is that something you have to know about?
Well, we're going to separate the federal retirees into two groups. If they retired in recent years, OPM makes the calculation. If they retired before that date, it's an honor system. One that I'm certainly everyone closely adheres to. But if they didn't know, you know, over the years, I've met some folks that didn't even know that, or they didn't know about it at the state level. There was a special deal. So let me get back to your question. The programs are as good as the data in there. So TurboTax is a fine product, MacinTax, Tax Cut, whatever. They're all, but they're only as good as the data. Now, one of the pieces that has to be in there is your birth date, because this is based on your age at the day you retire. So you'd have to have that, and you don't necessarily have to tell the program, but it wouldn't hurt to tell them, I'm a retiree. Mm-hmm. Now, that should be apparent by the form that they get. It's a 1099-R. It's a pretty good indication that that it's a retiree, but it isn't necessarily like that. And it should make the calculation, but for those of you when you're preparing your returns, which I'd imagine some would do between now and April 15th, they would want to make certain that their gross annuity on the front of their return isn't their taxable annuity. Mm-hmm. It should always be less.
Right.
Now, there's another group out there called foreign service folks. Theirs is not calculated automatically. Theirs is calculated based on them doing it. Well, or TurboTax.
I think
doing.
The State Department handles their retirement, so that's different from when OPM
exactly
has it in their system.
And in January, the year after they retire, they get a statement from, it's all done in South Carolina, and it says, this is how much you've put into the system throughout your career. So that's the first piece, and then it's up to them to divide it by the life expectancy that IRS would show. It's pretty simple.
I think the other place, isn't it publication 721, you can read about how that
publication 721 covers that. And if you outlive your life expectancy, if you underlive your life expectancy, is there any cash coming if you were to pay us early? Now, of course, this would be your estate. And it's a terrific publication. But for those of you all listening, if IRS devotes an entire IRS publication to the taxation of the federal annuity, it's got some issues with it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that from a bad perspective. It's issues that you need to know. Or if
in our seminars, you spend a half a day talking about taxes, and people come in and say, why do I need a half a day to talk about taxes? Well, there's tax changes that occur when you retire. You have tax strategies when you withdraw from your thrift. Just tax issues
and what they would, and how that would impact the rest of your return. So, as you say, Tammy, you've really focused in on that. Distributions from the thrift are somewhat at your discretion when you start it. And then you can vary it under one method. Once a year, you can change the monthly amount.
Right.
But that impacts the taxation of your Social Security. So if you're right on the borderline there, you could take out 1 year and not the next to keep the taxation of the Social Security down. I know I'm putting people to sleep with this, but I think your entree, Tammy, into it is there's a lot going on when you retire that you need to be aware of. Then sometimes it's more sensitive than what you were on the job. On the job, you got a salary of X dollars, and it was pretty much it. But in retirement, you can vary the thrift distributions. You can vary IRA distributions. Your annuity certainly is going to be a constant. And Social Security, if you get it, is going to be a constant. But the other variables could have a negative impact to you tax-wise.
Yeah, I always say, like, wait till the dust settles before you make any big decisions about, you know, buying that RV or moving from, you know, Virginia to Florida, whatever you're going to do. Because you are going to have to wait to see when all these pieces come together, what your tax situation is going to be in, if you're going to start receiving Social Security yet, how you're going to distribute your TSP account. You know, going back to the TSP, when you first retire, you really shouldn't do anything with your thrift. You give it a good month, because what has to happen is the agency payroll office has to notify the thrift savings plan that you've actually separated. So if you were to send your application to withdraw money from the thrift plan with your retirement application, it would come right back to you because you haven't separated yet. So I would say a good rule of thumb is wait until your annual leave check is paid out and that money's in your bank account. Now you know your agency has taken you off the payroll. If you want to take a TSP distribution, whether it's a partial lump sum payment or whether you actually want to start a monthly payment plan, do that after your lump sum leave check has come. You kind of, like I said, kind of let the dust settle. You'll get that lump sum leave check. You'll get your last paycheck. So you should be okay the first month of retirement. But then after that, you got to plan for that interim period and things to kind of adjust, whether it's tax issues or whether it's just the income that you're going to have now that you've retired. And even considering whether or not you're going to start a second career, work part-time, that could create another source of income that, like you said, could push you above certain thresholds for Social Security taxes and for Medicare premiums and those kind of issues.
And there's another one, and I get this question, and I'm sure you do in class as well, and I think you defer it to me, but thank you.
Gives me something to talk
about. If somebody owes money on a thrift loan, there's a common misconception that that needs to be paid prior to leaving federal service. Truth of the matter is, in a vacuum, if somebody left federal service, they have 60 days to pay it off if they so desire. But the thrift is actually a little bit better than that, a lot better than that. And as Tammy mentioned, for 30 days, you have 30 days and then another 60 days after that. And somebody
basically 3 months.
Yeah. And somebody might be listening saying, well, that's easy for you to say. If I didn't have the money to pay it off prior to, why would I have it afterwards? Well, one of it might be the accumulated leave check. And net of tax, that might help you pay back the loan.
Right, because the loan gets paid back, which allows that money to stay tax deferred.
Yes.
Otherwise, what'll happen?
Otherwise, it gets whacked with taxes, and depending on your age, you could be subject to a penalty on top of it.
So if you're not able to repay the loan within that 90-day period, then it's considered a distribution. So if you owe $10,000 on your TSP loan, it's like you withdrew $10,000 the year that you retired.
Yeah.
And, so they'll just add that to your taxable.
People get very mad at that, and then I try to calm them down by saying, you really did get paid the money. You took it out. You called it a loan,
but you
didn't pay the loan back. You can't pay a loan back other than this provision we just talked about. So once those 60, 90, or whatever days are up, you can't pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
You can't write a check. So you did get the money in advance.
That's right.
And even for whatever good cause it may have been, you got the money in advance. And this is IRS talking. This is not Tammy or me. Mm-hmm. If it were up to us, of course they wouldn't have to pay it back. But it's not up to us.
No.
So some of these emails that you got in the last week, is there anything else? I mean, we talked about, I really like your comment, you know, chill for 30 days.
Yeah, just kind of play it cool. Don't remodel the house yet. You know, don't take that big vacation. The other thing, too, is if you're going to be out of town, if you are going to be traveling as soon as you retire in the process of moving somewhere, make sure that OPM knows where you are and how to get a hold of you. Because while you're in that interim status, your case is being assigned to a claims examiner who might have a question for you. Or they may have a need for you to sign a form that you neglected to sign or didn't know you had to sign before you left. So make sure that you're accessible, because those are things that can just further delay the whole process. So I wouldn't be in a hurry to go out of town right away when you first retire, so that you can answer those questions and respond to those letters that you might get from OPM. Another thing that's happening that's kind of coincidental, but as of January 1st, the premiums for FEGLI, the government life insurance program, are changing. And they did some actuarial studies, and some people aren't dying like they used to, and other people are. So some of the premiums are going up, and some of the premiums are coming down. So some of you may notice that either in your paycheck or in your retirement check, depending on if you're still working or retired, you may notice a smaller withholding for FEGLI, because in the younger age groups, the premiums are actually going down. In the older age groups, I think it's starting at age 70 and above, those premiums for option B are pretty much staying the same. But for retirees who elected the no reduction option for their basic or the 50% reduction on their basic life insurance, those are actually going to go up a little bit. So if you do notice some difference in your annuity check outside of the cost of living adjustment or your health insurance premium adjustment, it could be due to the life insurance changes. So like I said, for some it's going to go down a little bit, for some it's going to go up a little bit. And it's maybe a good time to reevaluate why you're even carrying the life insurance. You know, the basic coverage is always your salary plus 2,000, but many federal employees throughout their careers carry option B, and that's the one where you've elected multiples of your salary, maybe up to 5 times your basic pay, which would have been necessary if you're raising a family or you just bought a house, just got married, got a lot of financial responsibilities, not a lot of assets. But now that you're nearing retirement, you got that $500,000 in thrift, perhaps, and you've got a very generous retirement benefit, survivor annuities in place, maybe your needs for life insurance aren't what they were 30 years ago. So you may want to reevaluate how much of that coverage you really need to maintain. And at any time you feel that it's more expensive than what it's worth, you can drop it. So you can contact OPM directly to change your life insurance in retirement. Or if you're still working, of course, you can go to your Employee Express or any of your electronic record keeping systems and make those changes.
And like you say, it can become very expensive. We have no axe to grind with OPM's life insurance and the premiums. But if you did some homework, you might find you get the same coverage from a very good company for less money.
Yeah, the reason why FEGLI is priced the way it is, it's fairly priced because it covers everybody. It covers you if you have a pre-existing condition. It covers you if you have 10 kids. It covers you no matter what. It also covers you no matter how you die. The only time FEGLI doesn't pay is if your beneficiary caused your death. But otherwise, it pays.
Does that happen in the federal sector?
I think that's a good thing. But they do cover acts of war, acts of terrorism. They cover suicide. So some life insurance policies will have caveats. Say if you die in a plane crash, we don't cover that. So FEGLI is priced for what it is. But if you lead a normal lifestyle and you don't find yourselves in dangerous parts of the world on a regular basis, and you're in relatively good health that you could pass the underwriting for private life insurance, you could get a much less expensive rate for a good term policy that would cover your needs. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's something to look into. And a lot of employees look at WAPA as an option because WAPA caters to the federal population. That's the Worldwide Assurance for Employees of the Public Sector. That's WAEPA.org. And they're a local company here in Virginia that's been serving federal employees since World War II. They wanted to be FEGLI, but they didn't get picked. But they're still in business, and they still provide very good benefits to federal workers.
All righty. We're talking about benefits and finance and the like. And if we were to look at last year in the proverbial rearview mirror, I was thinking this morning that the shows we did in 2011 really aren't going to be different in 2012, with one major exception, the subject matter. In other words, we'll talk about taxes, we'll talk about benefits, we'll talk about Social Security, but every year things change.
Some of the details do change.
And you can listen to these shows archived 24/7 at nitpinc.com. nitpinc.com. Left-hand side, of course, the first choice is Tammy's GovExec articles that go back 6 years, six
plus
years.
And by the way, I'm doing my index this week. So what I do once a year in January is I index all of my past columns and pitch out the ones that are no longer relevant, take the ones I wrote last year, and put them into a subject matter, kind of like an index. So if you have questions about preparing for retirement or survivor elections or health insurance, I have topic lists and all the articles that I've written over the past 6 years that relate to those topics. So watch for that Friday on govexec.com,
and you can find it on
NITP too.
It'll be on the website after that. Yeah. So, and you can listen to it at your leisure. You don't have to listen to although you should listen to the whole 53 minutes, but you don't have to, and you can fast forward or pull back. You can spread the word, etc. So if we just looked at the last, say, quarter of the year, we spent an awful lot of time, good time, on the open season. And although open season really isn't going to make any difference to anybody until later on this year.
Yeah, don't listen to the open season shows today.
However, there was the long-term care folks were in there, and they don't really have an open season per se. And so that shows on there. And then we talked about tax planning, but you don't want to listen to last year's tax planning, but you might want to listen to the February 6th this year. We don't do it in January because everybody doesn't. They're not into it yet. Yeah. So by February 6th, they should have most of their information. And
so put that on your calendar that's coming up.
Right. And we talk about financial planning throughout the year. We did one October 3rd last year, financial planning in general. And we also did some other ones. We did one in July, the debt crisis and the impact on the federal employee with Karen Schaefer. And we had Joe Sullender on couple times last year to keep your focus on what you want to do and monitor that. Financial planning for college, we did that in July. Steve Lingle. And Steve actually wrote an article on our website that we send out in an email blast, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. We talked about Social Security with Lester Austin. He's kind enough to come on every year. And
he's
Lester,
an entertaining guy, too. He's
just
a fun show to listen
off
to.
The mic. Yep. And he was on September 19th.
That'd be a good one to listen to if you're contemplating drawing Social Security this year, or if you're already receiving it and you have questions about it. So Lester is a wealth of information on Social Security.
Right, and we had the TSP director and Tom, good for him. I believe he's retired.
He's one of the recent retirees. Congratulations, Tom, if you're listening.
Yeah, hi, Tom. But they came on, and they're just terrific guests, and they whiffed at the Roth TSP. I don't mean whiff that they missed it. You can't talk about something until you got all the edges buffed in. Hopefully we'll ask them to come on in May or so, maybe even April, and talk about an update to it. And they generally are very accommodating to us, so that'll be a good show coming up if you want to listen to the prior show. It was right in the late September period. Keeping financial perspective in volatile times. It's one of the Joe Sullender show. Joe, as well as Karen, they really have a nice presentation.
Love to listen to them because they're so easy to understand. They break it down simplistic style so that everybody can really understand how to plan financially for their retirement.
Yeah, they're both of them, as well as the others, share, I think, a unique ability to take a complex subject and answer it and deet, 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 and they don't go on and on.
Nope.
And then you go on to the next one. And you can go off on tangents with them as well. We do estate planning. And we do estate planning with Mark Levine as well as Tom O'Rourke. And they were on, Tom was on August 15th, and Mark was June 27th. Same profile they have. They answer an extremely complex subject in understandable language. And then they stop, and then we go on.
Yeah, around the time people retire is, I guess, around the time you start losing your parents. And I think that's when estate planning really hits home, when you see how complicated that can be to deal with your parents' estate who haven't maybe done proper estate planning. Or as you're going through issues of living wills and making those final decisions for aging parents. So I think, you know, doing estate planning in your 40s or 50s or even 60s is a very good idea. So, yeah, you're right. They give very concrete advice on those documents that we all need to have, that we kind of put aside and we procrastinate.
All right. Then Bob Bronstein, a federal benefits expert, strategist, and he came on and explained VERA, V-E-R-A, and
VSIP.
VSIP.
Yeah,
that's... Now, Tammy, you're going to have to tell me who VERA is and who VSIP is.
Well, that's another hot topic, because I know I get a lot of emails from employees who are concerned about downsizing. You know, agencies that may not have received the budget they wanted for next year, and they have to, you know, reduce their spending. And one of the ways to reduce spending is to reduce personnel. And one of the ways to reduce personnel is to offer early outs. So some agencies have offered them in 2011. We may see some more in 2012. So employees who are eligible for a voluntary early retirement have to consider what they would do if they got the offer. Would you go? Or would you look at it as an opportunity for a second career? Would you be old enough and have enough money to retire? Or would you say, no, thanks, I'll keep working for another 10 years? And sometimes the agencies, to give a further incentive, will offer a VSIP, which is a voluntary separation incentive payment, otherwise known as a buyout. And I always joke at the seminar saying, well, they got to pay you, what, $500,000 to buy you out? And everybody just starts laughing. They say, no, it's $25,000. And after taxes, it's about what?
15 or 16.
Yeah. So that's how much you're going to get bought out with if your agency offers a buyout. That's the maximum. So, you know, VERA and VSIP is a buyout with an early retirement. And then you may get some of those this coming year.
Okay.
So that'd be a good show to overview what your consideration should be.
That show was on August 29th, 2011, and I'm sure we'll do another one in 2012. And then we were fortunate enough to have Mike Causey and Tammy and myself, and we talked about crisis averted, and this was back in early August when there was an issue with the budget, et cetera.
Still have the same issues going on right now, so we've averted the crisis temporarily, but we're still concerned about changes to federal benefits in the coming year.
And we'll
be watching that closely.
And we would hope Mike would come on as well. Usually we do, and we probably will do it this year in January, maybe February, the three of us talk about looking at the horizon and trying to figure out which way we might go, depending on which way they go. Now, we had somebody that really doesn't work with NITP, but a good friend of the show and a good friend as well, Ellen McCarthy, and I really enjoy her, and she talks about inside the intelligence community. Now, she was in the intelligence community, and she's not going to tell you anything that she shouldn't, but she talks about how to get inside of it. In other words, how do you apply, and do you want to, and what kind of profile they look at. So, you know, don't expect her to tell you what things are in what buildings where. She's not going to do that, but she's an energetic soul, and she comes on once a year, and we're very happy. Now, the landmark show, at least for me anyway, was July 11th, and we talked about Roth conversions and the VC into the Roth and the things to look forward to, but the things to watch out for, and still it's hard for people to grasp in the seminars. We did this show, so we could say, here, go back and listen to this, pull down the PDF, and then you can email
us. It's a course in it.
It's rough stuff.
But for someone who just retired, who has voluntary contributions, it's well worth listening to that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going to pick up some tips on what to do with that money in your voluntary contribution account so that it does not turn into an annuity, and you can actually transfer that to your IRA or hopefully Roth IRA.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I spent probably 45 minutes yesterday on the phone with a person talking about this, because it just doesn't go down easily. But the financial ramifications are huge.
And according to the rules, you can contribute to voluntary contributions up until the time your retirement's finalized. So if you just retired December 31st, it's still not too late. So if you're trying to find a way to put some money into a Roth, shelter it from future taxes. Was that July 11th?
July 11th.
Yeah,
now, everybody
listen
to what Tammy said, because I'm not so sure they're aware of it, but
we're talking,
make sure you
CSRS.
Understand what she said. Yeah,
we're talking to the CSRS folks, because that's a program open to the old system.
Yeah, but it can be funded after you retire, but
before.
There's a deadline. My advice, I always tell people, that Tammy tells me this, I have no reason to disbelieve it, but you don't know when it's going to be, so do it before.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't and you were unaware of it, you still have that potential.
Yep.
And we had a show on financial planning for college. It was July 20th with Steve Lingle. It was just devoted to that. So it isn't all retirement stuff that we do. We do beginning career. We do mid-career.
That's for all those New Year's babies that were born this weekend, plan for their college.
And who might that be?
Oh, I was one of them, but it was a long time ago. Those days are long over.
It doesn't look like it.
No.
All righty, umbrella insurance. We had John Gillick. John has one of the great voices. Everyone has a great voice, but he really
has a radio voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, umbrella insurance policy, you know why somebody would want that.
That's when you have teenagers, you need that. You don't want to lose the house because they wrecked the car.
And then Joe, the cylinder again, it's finances, and he talked about financial planning potential mistakes last April, and he's going to do it again this year because, you know, with finances, they do change every year, even though the choices might be the same. You know, what choices, what's the best choice? And that's going to be a really good show this year when we do it. And we don't know. If we knew what thing to invest in, we wouldn't be doing the show.
Right.
But we can provide professional guidance. And, of course, seems we also have a lot of benefit shows because benefits, if I think taxes are tough, I always say this to Tammy and she looks at me and she says, I think taxes are tough. I wish I understood what she talked about. And I've learned an awful lot in the scant, 23 years we've known each other?
Been doing this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, benefits can be complicated. And it always makes me feel bad because I always hope that someday I become obsolete, that you don't really need somebody to explain this to you because it shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't have to work 35 years and not be sure how to get the benefits that you've worked for. But there are certain things you have to know about, such as if you've performed service that wasn't subject to retirement contributions, that can affect how it's credited. If you served in the military, that could be very valuable service added to your federal retirement, but you have to know how to get it done. So you have to know what kind of questions to ask and who to ask it of and how to evaluate the answers you get. So if you're still working for the government, a good starting place is to ask for a retirement estimate. You know, every agency has a retirement specialist who will prepare for you a retirement estimate. So if you're within 5 years of being eligible to retire, that's your starting spot. And by getting that estimate, it's going to give you a chance to review your whole career history, make sure there's nothing missing, make sure there's nothing out of order, and also to be sure that you don't owe any money to the retirement fund that can affect your future benefits. So if you're still employed and you're getting ready to start thinking about retirement, that's a good place to start.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want to put you on the spot. But you said something that clicked, military time. Now, we've got younger people entering the workforce. It could be beginning FERS, mid-career FERS. They might not have military service. So if somebody was to ask you, is the FERS benefit a tougher calculation to make with its ramifications in CSRS?
Well, as far as the FERS basic retirement benefit, it's actually a very simple calculation. You're either going to get 1%, or if you're over 62 with more than 20 years of service, you're going to get 1.1% of your average salary over your highest 3 years for all of your length of service. So if you had 30 years of service, you get 30% of your high three. If you have 20 years of service, you get 20%. So that's simple. The hard part about FERS is that that's not your only benefit. FERS is a three-level system. So to get the same retirement income that you would have had spending 30 years under CSRS, you have to count on that basic FERS benefit, which might be the 30% of your high three for 30 years of service, plus your Social Security entitlement from all the years you've paid the FICA tax, whether it's in federal service, military, or private industry, and your savings, which could be savings from a 401k, the Thrift Savings Plan, IRAs. So all of that money that you've set aside for your future has to now create income. And so you have to figure out, how am I going to make this support my lifestyle in retirement? I got to pay the same bills. I have this taxes to pay. I have, you know, things I want to do in retirement. I want to spend money. So I got to make sure I have enough to spend. So you got to make sure all three of those levels of benefits, your defined benefit, your pensions, your investment income, and then Social Security or other entitlements all come together to produce enough income. So if you are planning to retire, don't do it premature. Make sure there's enough there to cover the outgoing expenses you have. You don't want to be one of those people who have to really say no to certain things you want to do because you don't have the income to do it. You know, retirement's possible, but it does take a lot more planning than it used to.
Now, I always thought that the CSRS, because all the special exceptions, you know, if you worked for the post office in 1948 or 75 or something, there was some special deal. But the FERS maybe don't have all that. But
it's a little simpler.
They have the tougher part, though, to mesh all the gears.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. I never thought of that.
I have an uncle who retired, Uncle Steve, who's not doing real well right now. But I talk about Uncle Steve a lot in my seminars. And he's been retired now for almost 34 years. And I asked him one time, I said, Uncle Steve, what did you do to prepare for your retirement back in 1978? And he said, he thought about it. He says, I think all I did was put in my application 30 days before I left. I says, you didn't attend a seminar? You didn't have a financial advisor? He's like, no. And here he is 34 years later, still paying the same bills, buying the same groceries, still has, you know, same health insurance, even the same wife that he's had for, you know, 50, almost 60 years. So back in those days, retirement planning was just stay in government service for a full career. Today, it's a lot more. It's managing assets, understanding the changes that we're encountering, evaluating decisions like early outs and paying for federal service. So it is more complex than it was before.
Yeah, my dad was the same way. And
that's right. He was another retiree.
Yeah, and he was in the double cola days. But when he passed, which was certainly a sad day, a few days later, I went through the papers to say, boy, I hope they checked the box for a survivor's annuity.
Yeah.
And fortunately, they did, and that was a real blessing.
Well, that was true, too, in those days. If you were married, especially in those days, if your wife didn't work outside the home, that was a given that you'd elect full survivor benefits. But today, you know, we have working couples for the most part, and it's a decision you have to make, evaluate the cost and the value of that survivor election, which recent retirees have just done when they process their paperwork.
Yeah. Now, bringing us, I won't say full circle, we're in 2012 now, and we have a monthly article, and we blast it out with our email, but we also put it on the website, and it's just once a month one of us writes an article. And this one, if it's not up on the website, it should be shortly, and the website is NITPINC.com. We sell nothing. We don't farm emails. We don't sell emails. And if you can find something to buy on the website, I'll buy it for you.
Well, we sell seminars.
Yes.
If you want to take a seminar, you can find out about them there too.
Yeah. And this article is pretty good. He says, resolve to take control of your financial life in 2012. It's a great article. It pinpoints, but it doesn't go way out to present value and future value of dollars and whatnot. I just love the first thing. Review your goals. As the baseball legend Yogi Berra reportedly said, if you don't know where you're going, you may not get there. And I just thought that was great.
That's good advice.
Yeah. So that's financial. Then that coupled with the shows that will be on with benefits.
This is a very readable article. I'm just glancing through it here.
So
it's a good overview of things you really need to think about as you're really facing the reality of your finances.
Yeah.
And it's something that we don't like to talk about and think about, but if you read this, it actually has some humor to it, and it's not in the weeds, as they say.
Bob and James Marshall always talk about in the weeds, and I spend my life in the weeds, but occasionally I come out to the real world thanks to you all. But he talks in here about review insurance coverage. He doesn't have anything to sell. It's just selling the idea. Review your investment strategy. And that's really hard today. I'd look back at some of the stats. The S&P 500, I think, for the entire of 2011 was flat.
Yeah.
It was really close to zero, where the larger, the Dow Jones Industrials, was 5 or 6. But, you know, each of those has risk, and people say, I don't want risk, I want the G fund. Well, I don't know. It depends on where you want to go. But if you don't know where you're going to go, you might not get there, as Yogi said.
Yeah, or you start chasing the trends, which can be very dangerous if you don't have money to lose. So I guess, as they always say, diversify. So you have 5 choices within the thrift, use them all.
Yep.
Just balance them differently depending on your stage of life.
And we'll have shows definitely on that, and we'll have benefit shows, and Bob Bronstein does the FERCA. I think
he's our FERCA expert. So anybody in FERCA, if you want to know what that is, it's the Federal Erroneous Retirement Coverage Corrections Act, which was necessary about 10 years after FERS was implemented, because some employees, unfortunately, were placed in FERS and they should have been SERS. Some employees were placed in SIRS, should have been FERS. And unfortunately, some of those mistakes weren't discovered until people started retiring. So there are cases now that are trying to resolve the situation. And Bob has dealt with a lot of those employees who have gone through the FERCA hassle. And if you need help with that, you can contact us at nitpinc.com. We'll get Bob a message and maybe he can help you muddle through it. But hopefully you're not a FERCA. Nobody wants to be a FERCA.
Yeah. Although the one that was listened, and we've said it many times, didn't even know that they were, and an awful lot of money later.
Well, actually, he did come out ahead on that because...
Way ahead.
Yeah, he was able to go back and make his investments based on knowing what the past performance was, and that's unheard of.
That's like the Back to the Future where they got the sports book and of all the games that were going to be paid in the played in the future.
Yeah, now you know who's going to win.
And this kind of doofus found it and became a very wealthy person.
Yeah. Well, maybe you do want to be a FERCA. I don't know. Just like people who are civil service offset. They come up to me and say, oh my gosh, I'm a civil service offset. I don't know what to do. It's like, you don't know how lucky you are.
Smile and be happy.
Yeah, you're in the best of both worlds. So if you're under SIRS offset, it is a little different. But you get the best of Social Security, the best of civil service, and you get them both together. So not a bad place to be.
Yeah, I would say. Mm-hmm. All righty, Tammy, your New Year's resolutions?
Oh, boy. New Year's resolutions, as far as retirement goes, is just be prepared, be realistic, and study this stuff as much as you can if you are planning to retire this year. Just don't count on your agency doing it all for you. Question things that look questionable and ask for help when you need it.
Okay. And I would say in my case, we'll do two sides. On the finance side, finance is very tough for most people because it involves two things, math and money. And a lot of people don't gravitate towards either. And so if you don't, then you need to go to somebody, like you go to a doctor. So you go to a financial doctor. And same thing with legal issues. Oh, I don't need a will. I need a will, but I can get one at off the web. Be aware of what state you live in because there are different rules. And Mark Levine or Tom, listen to one of those shows and it'll tell you why. And then the other one was tax. Nobody understands tax. Even the people that do tax sometimes don't understand it because it changes every 3 months. But keep on top of it or listen to the shows or find an advisor. Thanks for listening. Andrew's given me the high sign. We'll be back next week. And Happy New Year and celebrate Tammy's birthday for another week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.